All right, so are you ready to go deep?
I think so, yeah. What are we diving into today?
Today it's the Epstein files, all those flight logs and depositions, the stuff that's slowly becoming public.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
And it's way bigger than some celebrity scandal right now.
Yeah.
This stuff could really shake things up.
Absolutely. I mean, you're talking global scale, politics, security, even like the systems we all rely on. It really makes you think, how deep does this all go?
It's kind of like we're peeking behind a curtain into this world we thought was only in movies.
That's a great way to put it. This world of powerful people like politicians, royalty, business tycoons, all connected to Epstein somehow.
And that's the part that really gets to me. It makes you wonder, what were these connections really about?
Right, that's a big question. Epstein's network, I mean, it was huge, E, across all kinds of borders. We're talking the US, the UK, France, like a global web of influence.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. It's almost unbelievable.
And then there's the Lolita Express, his private plane, right?
Oh, yeah, that's infamous at this point.
The flight logs, it's like a who's who of powerful figures, people you'd never expect to be mixed up with someone like Epstein.
I mean, to be fair, though, flying on his plane doesn't automatically mean they're guilty of something, does it?
No, you're right. Just being associated with him doesn't equal guilt. But it definitely raises questions like, why were they even associating with him?
Exactly. And what did they know about what he was doing?
Especially when you consider the possibility of like blackmail and stuff.
Wait, blackmail? Hold on, what kind of blackmail?
Well, several victims have said Epstein was secretly recording his guests.
Recording them? Like, doing what?
Well, a lot of them were powerful people, and he'd supposedly catch them in compromising situations.
Wow, that's messed up.
Imagine the leverage that would give you, especially if you had sensitive information on them or evidence of wrongdoing.
Okay, so now we're talking way beyond personal reputations. This is national security, international relations. The stakes are unbelievably high. But, like, is there even proof these recordings exist?
Honestly, that's one of the biggest unanswered questions in this whole thing. So far, nothing's been released publicly.
Yeah, makes sense.
But the fact that they could be out there, I mean, the fallout, if they surfaced, it's terrifying. Makes you think about who would benefit from that information coming out.
Well, I mean, the victims,
Right,
like
exactly.
Virginia Giuffre, Sarah Ransom, Maria Farmer, for them, having all this stuff come to light, it's about validation, showing that they were telling the truth all along.
And holding those responsible accountable.
Exactly. It took so much courage for them to speak out. They were up against so much power and influence.
And they were crucial in getting some justice, like with Ghislaine Maxwell's conviction.
Right, Maxwell, Epstein's longtime associate, found guilty of sex trafficking. But she was just one part of this whole thing. It just makes you wonder, how deep does this actually go?
That's what investigators are trying to figure out, right? Were there others involved in these crimes?
I mean, there has to be, right?
And the thing is, that 2008 non-prosecution agreement Epstein got in Florida,
Oh, yeah, that was a whole thing.
it actually shielded some of his alleged co-conspirators from being prosecuted.
Wait, back up. What was that agreement? And who's this Alexander Acosta guy?
Oh, Acosta was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of Florida at the time. He had tons of evidence against Epstein, but he gave him this plea deal. It was shockingly lenient. Epstein got to plead guilty to way lesser charges.
So basically, this connected, powerful guy gets a slap on the wrist. I
Basically.
mean, no wonder people were outraged. It just plays into this whole idea that the rich and powerful, they play by different rules.
Exactly. It just fuels that feeling that there's a two-tiered justice system. The elites are untouchable.
Which, honestly, that's a dangerous trend, no matter what your politics are.
You're absolutely right.
I mean, if this is how justice works for someone like Epstein, what hope is there for anyone else?
Exactly.
And what about all the unnamed co-conspirators that were protected?
That's one of the big things about these files being released now. It could actually reveal who those people are.
Meaning more charges could be filed.
Exactly. And those people, no matter how powerful they are, might finally have to face the consequences.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. Every new revelation, there's something else, something deeper. This goes way beyond just one man, And I feel like we're only scratching the surface here.
You're probably right. And the effects could be huge. Think about the international impact.
Oh, right.
What if those recordings are real and they have sensitive information about world leaders?
Yikes.
Governments could be destabilized, alliances broken. We could see the global landscape change in ways we can't even imagine.
This is getting into like serious spy thriller territory.
So we're back. still digging into the Epstein files. And I think it's pretty clear by now, this is more than just some scandal, right?
Yeah, way more. I mean, we're talking about power, influence, potential abuse. It's a lot to take in.
And it goes way beyond Epstein himself.
It really does.
It's like you see the tip of the iceberg and it's already shocking, but...
But underneath, who knows how deep it goes.
Right. And every time we dig a little deeper, these names keep popping up. Powerful people and their connection to Epstein. It just...
It makes you question everything.
Exactly. Last time, we were talking about potential blackmail, right?
Yeah.
Victims saying Epstein secretly recorded his guests.
Yeah, that was pretty wild.
But think about it. What kind of information did he actually get, and how could he use it? Imagine he had footage of some world leader, right, doing shady business deals.
Okay, yeah, now you're talking serious leverage.
Right, he could pressure them, negotiations, even destabilize whole governments.
It's like something out of a movie.
And it's not that far-fetched. Remember, Epstein had connections everywhere. Politics, finance, tech, all these people in powerful positions.
Oh, I remember those connections. It was crazy.
So, yeah, the potential for compromise was huge. And then you have those rumors about the Mossad.
Oh, yeah, the Israeli intelligence agency, right?
Yeah, that adds a whole other layer to this whole thing.
Definitely.
The Mossad, they're known for their, you know, covert operations, intelligence gathering.
Right, like top-level stuff.
So if Epstein was working with them, I mean, what did he have access to? What could they have used that information for?
Yeah, was he a spy?
Mm.
A pawn in some bigger game?
Exactly. These are questions investigators are probably looking into right now.
It's pretty mind-blowing.
Mm.
But let's talk about some of the people whose names are already out there, like Prince Andrew, for example.
Yeah, he's been under a lot of scrutiny for his relationship with Epstein.
For sure. And it's mainly because of Virginia Giuffre's allegations, right?
Right. She claims she was trafficked to him, forced to have sex with him when she was 17.
I remember that. And they settled out of court, didn't they? Does that mean he admitted he was guilty?
Well, not necessarily. The settlement didn't include any admission of guilt on his part, and he's denied it all along.
But if he's innocent, why not fight it in court? Clear his name.
I mean, that's a good question. But legal battles, they can be really expensive, drag on forever.
True. That makes sense.
Sometimes people settle for all sorts of reasons, even if they say they're innocent.
Fair enough. But Prince Andrew is just one part of this. Then you've got the two names that seem to come up no matter what. Bill Clinton and Donald Trump. What does their involvement tell us?
Well, first, it's important to say there's no proof either one of them did anything criminal with Epstein.
Okay, good point.
But they were definitely associated with him. They flew on the Lolita Express. And that raises questions about, you know, their judgment.
So let's break it down. What do we actually know about Clinton's relationship with Epstein?
Well, the flight logs show he flew on Epstein's plane a bunch of times, went to his private island in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah, that island.
There are even reports that Clinton didn't have his Secret Service detail on some of those flights.
They're kind of weird, right?
Yeah, and Clinton says he knew Epstein, but had no clue about the criminal stuff.
So what was he doing on those trips then?
He claims it was all philanthropy, and he says he never went to the island.
But didn't some of the victims say they saw him there? At parties,
yeah,
with underage girls and stuff.
Those accusations are out there, but nothing's been confirmed.
That makes sense.
But it definitely hurts his reputation, gives his opponents more fuel, you know?
Yeah, I see that. So what about Trump? He was friends with Epstein too, right?
Yeah, he was at those parties too, and he flew on the plane. There are even reports he hosted a party for Epstein at Ar-a-Lago.
His resort in Florida.
Yeah, and there were supposedly underage girls there.
Oh, wow.
So both Clinton and Trump have tried to downplay their connection to Epstein after all this came out.
Scenes.
And some of their old comments about Epstein are coming back to haunt them. Like in 2002, Trump said Epstein was a terrific guy, that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side.
Yikes.
And both of them have been accused of hypocrisy, hanging out with Epstein and then trying to distance themselves when it all blew up.
Yeah, that's a bad look.
It is. And honestly, this whole thing has become a political weapon.
Yeah.
Both sides using it to attack each other.
It's a mess.
It really is. But it shows how this goes way beyond just Epstein. It's about power and influence and how they protect people.
And the systems that allowed him to operate for so long.
Exactly. And what about all those co-conspirators? The ones we don't know about yet. What happens to them?
I mean, that's a huge question.
As these files come out, there's a chance we'll figure out who helped Epstein.
So maybe more charges.
Possibly. And those people, no matter how powerful they are, might finally face consequences.
We've talked a lot about all these powerful people connected to Epstein, but We can't forget about the victims. Their stories should be what matters most.
Absolutely. In the next part, we're going to focus on them, their experiences, their fight for justice, and what their stories tell us about the systems that failed to protect them.
Okay, so welcome back. We've spent the last two parts of this deep dive going through the Epstein files, and I don't know about you, but it's been a lot.
It really has. It's easy to get lost in all the conspiracies and the political stuff, but...
But we can't forget the real people at the heart of this.
Yeah.
The victims.
Absolutely. Their lives were changed forever because of what Epstein did.
Their stories are tough to hear. Really tough. But they're so important, you know, to understand the real cost of all of this.
Yeah. And it takes so much courage to share those experiences, especially when you're going up against powerful people who might try to silence you.
It really does. And their bravery. I mean, it was key in getting some justice, like with Ghislaine Maxwell's conviction.
You're right.
Maxwell was found guilty of sex trafficking, but her trial, it exposed a lot of the ways they used to lure these young women, you know?
Yeah.
The exploitation.
Absolutely. And one of the most powerful testimonies came from Virginia Schuffer. She's been a leading voice for the victims.
I remember her testimony. Really powerful.
She described in detail how Epstein and Maxwell trafficked her, forced her to have sex with powerful men, Prince Andrew, for example.
I mean, it's a horrible story, but it's so important that she shared it. It sheds light on the manipulation, the coercion that was at the center of Epstein's whole operation.
It wasn't just about sex. It was about control.
And she wasn't alone, right?
No, not at all. Another survivor, Sarah Ransom, she's also spoken out. She talked about being recruited by Maxwell under false pretenses.
Right, with promises of modeling and stuff like that.
Exactly. And then being abused for years. Sexually, psychologically, Epstein really tormented her.
It's terrifying, the control he had over them. Ransom talked about being taken to that private island, cut off from everyone, completely dependent on him.
It really is like something out of a nightmare.
Yeah, and it wasn't just one man being, you know, depraved or whatever. It was a system designed to exploit and control these women.
And then you have Maria Farmer. She worked for Epstein as an art consultant back in the 90s.
Right, I remember hearing about her.
She says both Epstein and Maxwell assaulted her, and that she saw other young women being abused at Epstein's different places.
Her case is really troubling because she actually reported it to the FBI back in 96. But it feels like they just ignored her.
For years.
It makes you wonder how many others tried to come forward but were dismissed, silenced.
It's tragic, really. It shows how even when victims do speak up, the systems that are supposed to protect them,
they fail.
Exactly. And that's why it's so important to listen to these stories, to hold the people who did this accountable. And those who look the other way.
These women are incredibly brave for coming forward. But their stories also show the lasting effects of what they went through. They've talked about struggling with PTSD, anxiety, depression, the fear of retaliation from Epstein's network.
Constantly looking over their shoulder.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it makes it clear that justice isn't enough. There needs to be healing, support for survivors.
We need to make sure they have the resources to rebuild their lives, the care they need.
Absolutely. And while this whole thing, the Epstein files coming out, it's been really painful for the victims.
Yeah, it's brought up a lot of trauma.
It has. But it's also given them a platform, you know?
Yeah.
Their voices are being heard. And the more information comes out, the more pressure there is on authorities to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
And to actually prevent this from happening again.
Exactly. And the pursuit of justice here, it goes beyond just putting people in jail.
Right. It's bigger than that.
We have to dismantle the systems that allowed this to happen. We need stronger laws against trafficking and a culture where victims feel safe to come forward, where they know they'll be believed.
So this deep dive, it's been tough, but it's been necessary. We've seen the dark side of wealth and power, the ways these systems can be twisted and abused, and the impact it has on people's lives. It's devastating.
It really is.
But it's also been about resilience, the strength of these survivors. And the importance of holding those in power accountable. The fight for justice isn't over. It's up to all of us to stay informed, to speak out, and to make sure this never happens again.
I completely agree.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Remember, knowledge is power. Silence helps the bad guys. Keep asking questions, keep looking for the truth, and keep diving deep.